fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here again another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful, restful weekend. Today, I'm delighted to invite back a guest I've had on a few times, John Kazanjian. John is a local businessman here in the Ann Arbor area. He's a member of Christ the King Parish, and he's a brother who really has stepped into, really by God's grace, the recent popes have talked about is the emergence of the laity, that is engaging the church's mission and sharing in the co-responsibility of clergy and laity and engaging the apostolic moment we're living in, which is the call to the Great Commission to extend the gospel, to reach out, to help the Lord seek and save the lost in our time. And I've just really been impressed how John and his wife, Michelle, as a team and their whole family has responded to the Lord's call. They're very faith-filled people. I thought, you know, it'd be great to have him back on just to kind of tell his story a little bit, hopefully to give you hope and a picture of what's possible, kind of leading into what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church today. He does want to raise up every single one of us, every single baptized person, to really engage in some way, according to the gifting he's given to us, the calling, directly engage the mission of evangelization in the church today. So welcome, John.
Thanks, Peter. Great to be back with you. I don't think there is a bigger fan of your show, and it's really an honor to be here with you once again. So thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, thanks for saying yes. Well, give our listeners just a little background of who you are, John. Deeper introduction than the one I gave.
Yeah. So grew up in an Armenian family on the East Coast. Really just, you know, a church-going boy, went to Sunday school, had perfect attendance, got my Bible when I was 12 for having a perfect attendance. That was really surprising, you know, you had to have perfect attendance to get your Bible at the end of the year. And then moved to California and lived in California, went to high school there, 2 years of college, and then something happened between my freshman and sophomore years in college. I was on a cross-country trip with my crew team from Santa Barbara, and we stopped in New York, and I went to an Armenian camp for a week, and I met a guy from Ann Arbor while I was there. And, you know, God was on my map, but as I tell my friends, my Bible was always next to my bed, but I never touched it. And I felt like I was living a double life. I was living a life that was just obvious to me that I was getting into stuff that I wasn't able to resist or get out of. But during that week that I was with my friend John, he really noticed me, and he started to just pursue me with my life, with what was going on, with the gospel, and really mostly through his own life. And he was a recovering addict, and he had really had a significant conversion in his life. In a sense, he twisted my arm a bit. He said, "You need to make a decision about who you're going to choose, who you're going to serve." And he said, "If you don't make that decision, it's a decision." And that was really key for me. And so at the end of the week, he asked me what I was going to do. And I didn't want to make a decision because I liked having control of my own life. I liked doing what I wanted. I liked being the God of my life. And I knew that if I allowed myself to say yes to God, everything was going to change. I knew that deep within me. I don't know how I knew it. Maybe it was just put in me by my family, by my grandparents who were very faithful, by their prayers. I don't know exactly.
Something happened through all that perfect attendance.
Yeah, exactly.
You must have heard something that passed something on to you.
Exactly.
There. Yeah.
And the people that just loved me and cared for me. And we went for a walk in the woods, and he said, "Do you want to commit your life to Jesus?" And I said, "I think I do." And he led me in some simple prayers of asking God to forgive me and to welcome God into my life. There was no sensory change. There was no immediate feeling that I had. But I really like to say that the boy that walked in the woods was not the same boy that walked out, because the next day I felt like there was a deep change within me. First of all, I loved Scripture in a way that I never knew I could. I couldn't put it down. I had to read it all the time. Every time I had a break, I started carrying it in my pocket. And then for the next several months, really, people who had not seen me in a long time, I would just see them, start talking to them, and they would look at me and they said, "You've changed. What happened to you?"
One of the things that is worth noting, going to kind of sound simple, the idea that John asked you, do you want to give your life to Christ? Do you want to become his follower? Seriously, sort of getting off the fence, make a decision. And that small little thing, even though no fireworks went off in the woods and you didn't have an epiphany or anything like that, you just exercised your freedom as a human being and you made a decision. I want to. And so you begin to respond to his leadership. Now, you reminded me when you said it of Pope John Paul II in Redemptoris Missio, Mission of the Redeemer document. He said, I think it was paragraph 46 or something. He said that every baptized Catholic, every person, especially who's been baptized as an infant, at some point in your life, as you become an adult and reach maturity, you need to make a decision to become a disciple of Jesus. Too many people are on like cruise control, or they just sort of have Jesus in a part of their life, and by inertia, they've kind of moved in that direction. But they haven't, in a decisive, personal way, come to terms with that issue. Am I going to follow him or not?
Right.
And that requires a decision, because Jesus stands at the door and knocks.
That's right.
He doesn't bust in. He doesn't force us to do anything. But he really wants to know, do you really want to become my follower? And that means having me at the center of your life. And so you instinctively knew, because of your background, that it was, as you said, was going to be decisive, that to follow Jesus meant to put him at the center of your life. So, and that's the kind of point the Lord wants every one of our listeners to come to, if they haven't come to that, to say, where are you in relationship to Jesus? Like, where is he? Because it's really about following him in his church. And so he wants to know if we want to go all the way with him.
That's
and
right.
go all in with him. So, but anyway.
And when it changes, and when you know it's going to change, everything changes.
Yeah.
It's just like saying, you know, look, when the Lord died on the cross, human history was forever changed.
Yeah.
And when you apply the cross of Jesus to your life, you know everything's going to change.
Yeah.
Your life doesn't belong to you anymore.
Yeah. So on the one hand, you said you began to take up the scripture and had a new hunger for it and a new passion for it. Really, that's a desire to learn Christ. I think that's one of the graces that the Lord gives. Ignorance of scripture is ignorance of Christ.
And that's the beginning, Peter.
Yeah.
Because quickly thereafter, I knew I needed to find other people to mentor me. I knew I needed to kind of join my life to others, people who could disciple me. I mean, I wouldn't have described it as that, but I just kind of intuitively knew. If I'm going to live as a Christian, if I'm going to say, you know, this is what my life is all about, I need people to be around me to teach me how to do that. I also knew very early on that part of that meant sharing it with others, that I needed to disciple others, that I needed to be able to talk about Christ in a way that wasn't just out there. I wasn't talking about Jesus from a point of view of, look at this historical figure, but I wanted to talk about him from the point of view that I knew him. Mm-hmm. Let me introduce him to you.
Yeah.
And I think, going back to John Paul, a disciple that doesn't share Christ is an immature disciple. Mm-hmm. And I mean, sure, I was immature. I needed to grow in my maturity, but there was something happening in me early on that really the gospel wanted to birth through me. He wanted me. I mean, I listened to the shows Joey did just a short while back
with Joey McCoy,
talking about just one candle lighting another. And I've heard you use that expression subsequently. And I think it's a beautiful way of looking at it. And really, that's all we're doing.
Yeah. And, you know, many people are raised in the church at some level, have some connection to the church. And they've certainly heard the stories of Jesus going to Peter, to John, to James, and looking him in the eye and saying, come follow me. Just that little invitation, those three words, come follow me. It's so important and so decisive to be able to, as a Catholic, at some point, to realize that he's speaking to each one of us and he wants to know, do you want to follow me? I'm calling you, so now come follow me. And how important that is, and it's so simple, but it does change everything.
It does.
Because it changes the orientation of your life. And you're saying, now I'm not living for myself anymore, as St. Paul says. I no longer live for myself, but I'm living for him. Do I know what that's going to mean every single day? I don't know. But in that decision, you're willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to give up control, as you were saying earlier, of my life, my destiny, and I'm going to come with you because I believe you're real and I believe this is real. That's the first step of discipleship, really.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. And look, Peter, if you're not able to talk about Christ, if you're not able to share not only just by your life, but by your words. There's an immaturity there.
Right.
So many of us, Catholics especially, think that people are going to change because of the life that I live. And they're going to see me. And you know, that's what I said. Like in those first few months, people saw the dramatic change that had happened in my life. And they kept saying, what happened to you? It was a wonderful time. It was a great honeymoon.
Yeah.
And I could tell them the story of what happened to me. But as time went on, most people think, and your parents always think, you were always a good boy. John's always a good guy. He's just, that's just who he is. Yeah. He's just a good guy.
Yeah.
But you have to be able to say, no, really, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
I have all the same problems you do, same struggles you do in my family, in my own life. Here's how it's making a difference. Here's how I can show you how I'm suffering and still love Christ. Here's how I can show you how being in a business situation and having all kinds of opportunities to maybe fudge things, and I still have to follow Christ.
Yeah.
Here's what's going on in my private life, and I still have to follow Christ. Why? Well, I can draw examples. I can draw examples from the scriptures. I can draw examples from the saints. I can draw examples from the guys around me and tell stories about them and share those stories in a way that points back to the original thing, which is, I know Christ and I'm his disciple.
Yeah, no, it's good. One of the questions you could ask if Jesus said, come follow me, the natural question is, where are we going, Lord? Where are you taking me? And the recent popes have tried to help us, and I love John Paul's image of, he called the co-missions of a disciple, you know, when he's taking us on mission. And he said, you can count on this. The Lord's going to lead you into deeper prayer and into his word and into union with God. He's going to give you a deeper hunger if you keep saying yes. And then your heart's going to fall more deeply in love with Christ. And then the Spirit who's doing that in you is going to lead you to communion. What did you say? You knew at a certain point, I need to walk with other believers,
right?
In the church. And so the Lord leads you to community for formation, for accountability, for support, for encouragement. And then you said you began to want to share the gospel. And he said the next step is mission. And he said that that's when a disciple begins to reach a certain level of maturity. As you're saying, that when you begin to actually take on the master's mission, when his burden becomes your burden, when his desire to reach others becomes your desire to reach others. And I know that, gosh, this show went by so fast.
Yeah.
It's just a few seconds left. And there's so much to your story. And I hope you're going to be here almost all week with us. And
I'm available. I'd love to do it, Peter, but especially just wanting to talk about how the Lord has launched me.
Yeah,
that is really what's in my heart, because I think there's so many out there that God wants to activate in the mission.
No, it's so good, John. And I'm eager for you to be able to tell your story this week. And friends, as John and I are sitting here, I'm just thinking of, I knew John many years ago. And I'd say today, looking back, you probably say, I had no idea God was going to do all the wonderful things that he did and that he has done in my life. And I want John to be able to share that with you, because he wants you to realize that you too are personally called by him. You were put on this earth to live for his glory and to share in his mission, to love God, to love your neighbor, and to help make disciples. And it's an exciting mission. No matter where you are in life, the Lord wants you to be a part of his mission. So God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.